Welcome to Plans Are Booked, a podcast for every reader. I'm Molly Galler.
I'm Stephanie Blackburn.
And I'm Caitlin Madison. Welcome to chapter 26. I just have to say, when this episode comes out, I will have already been tortured, maimed, and brought back to life by the tortured poets department. That's what's on my mind right now.
For those living under a rock, that's the title of the new Taylor Swift album.
Yeah. And I'm like riding my high of like, I didn't go to Coachella, but I feel like I did because I watched all the Travis and Taylor videos. Because guess what? All of her friends played there. It was Ice Spice. It was Jack and Bleachers. It was like everybody. Sabrina was there. I mean, it was just, it was delightful. Although I will say I did miss last year, Dylan O'Brien dancing in the desert with like no shirt on was pretty great. So, but this year was also good. So we didn't do a single thing together this past weekend for the first time in I feel like a while. Is that right?
Yeah, Molly was not here.
Right. Yeah, Molly, catch us up on your Molly just keeps traveling.
I know. I had back-to-back weekend trips, which is pretty unusual for me. I'm back in Watertown after 3 days on Long Beach Island, which is on the Jersey Shore. If you're like, oh, like the MTV show? Yes and no. It is the Jersey Shore, but that took place in an area called Seaside Heights. This is a town called Beach Haven. And I was reuniting with my best girls from camp. I think we've discussed this a few times. Jewish sleepaway camp is like a very big deal in the Jewish culture. These gals and I have been friends for a really, really long time, and it was so fun to get together. I also want to say that there were a couple of amazing food places that we went to. So if you are a listener who lives in the tri-state area and Jersey Shore is part of your deal, you need to go to the local in Beach Haven, which had one of the best sandwich cookies I've ever had, like whoopie pie style. Two snickerdoodle cookies with like salted caramel in the middle, homemade Pop-Tarts in three flavors, a cinnamon bun the size of a human head, and a great, I had the roasted mozzarella sandwich, but we tried like five different sandwiches. They were all great. You also have to go to Tucker's Tavern, which is like an upscale, I don't know. I kept wanting to call it like the 99, but if the 99 were nice, and they all wear shirts that say shut up and drink on the back. I had a great spiked peach tea that was excellent. And this is not a food rack, but more a small business rack. There's an amazing home decor store called the Dune Market. Highly recommend. I purchased several items. I wanted to purchase more than I normally purchase, but I decided to rein it in since the other girls were not in as big a shopping mood as me. So it was great. I felt like I was away for a whole week, and then I came back to Watertown and it was like sunny and gorgeous.
That did happen. I had a little bit of a reunion of sorts because my friend Tessa, who listens to the podcast, was visiting from Oakland, California, and she stayed with me for a night. And she went to Mount Holyoke with two of my other really good friends. And so a bunch of us, there were like six girls, and we went to the Red Sox game on Sunday, which was really fun. They won. The Red Sox hit three separate home runs. It was sunny and 60. I got us seats in the grandstands, which is covered, so nobody got a sunburn. We went to the bullpen beforehand, which in my opinion is the best Fenway bar there is. It was a delightful day, which I really needed because Saturday was another craptastic open house day in which I went and saw more homes with caving in roofs, rude neighbors saying, get off my lawn. I saw a furnace that my realtor was like, this is older than you are. you know, just the works. And these are all like homes that are like, you know, close to $800,000, and they have multiple rooms that need to be gutted or like major structural issues. And I'm a one woman show and I will not be tangoing with any of that. There was one house we didn't even go in because the eave, the roof line and the eave that were like over the front door were separating from the house. And we could see the foundation, like parts of it had crumbled onto the lawn. And we were like, we don't have to go in. We're good. And we just didn't even go in. It's like, I'm just laughing about it because I'm not in a rush and like I don't, it's not like I've sold my home or I can't rent where I live anymore. It, like I'm in a good spot, but boy, is it comical spending these Saturdays going to these absolute trash holes that are then going to sell in like 48 hours because people are desperate. So I was very glad that I had a Sunday fun day because Saturday was like a bowl of turds for like the third Saturday in a row. And so that was good. And then what else have I done? Parent-teacher conferences. I got everyone really jazzed up today, not about Taylor Swift stuff, but because Kit Connor from Heartstopper and Rachel Ziegler from West Side Story and also from the Ballad of the Songbird, whatever that is from Hunger Games, Snakes and Ballads, something like that. I forget. I saw the movie. It was really good. She's super talented. It'll be her Broadway debut. They're going to be in Romeo and Juliet. Jack Antonoff is doing the music. It's going to be unbelievable. And then apparently the person doing all the dance and movements is Molly's favorite from So You Think You Can Dance.
Sonia. Yeah, she's amazing.
So we're all jazzed up about it and we're going to try and go. We're probably going to get our hearts broken. It's totally fine. But that's what's on the, these, you know, I'm in full on like, if I can't find a house to buy, then I better line up some really fun things to do. I've got Boston Calling coming up. I've got Newport Folk Fest coming up. I have tickets to Noah Kahan. I want to throw this Kit Connor, Rachel Ziegler play onto my schedule. Steph, tell us about the barn.
First, I spent the weekend with Molly's dog, Scout. We had a wonderful dog sitting weekend together. He's always a hoot. But my Thursday morning started at the barn. The previous week it got snowed out because, you know, April in New England. So I showed up at 8:15. I have not tacked up a horse probably over 10 years. So I was like nervous about like, am I going to remember anything? It was like getting on a bicycle. I just want to say, first of all, you guys know that I cry at everything. The first person to, she's a tiny little four-year-old. She is nonverbal and also not independently mobile. She can kind of take steps, but she needs assistance. She got on Willie and would scream from happiness, and I started crying.
I mean, obviously, if the child can't speak and she got into a horse and felt joy, I also would cry.
Also, the therapist and her volunteer did not warn me they would be singing the entire session. So I'm leading the pony, facing forward. No one can see that I'm having like an emotional breakdown. And they are singing like made up songs to her the entire way. Around the ring. I think we went like 5 times around the ring changing
tracks. I was going to say, if they were singing This Little Light of Mine, I would have
fallen. Oh my gosh.
Did everyone get immediate tickets to heaven? Like, what happened? Like, I feel like that's a Hallmark movie. And everyone spending their time bringing this girl joy should get like to cut the line or something.
Her mother and her, I guess, maybe aide, who is like a full-time person who clearly adores the crap out of this little girl, were taking video and photos the entire time at like the entrance to the ring. It was just, I mean, it was raining and gross and no one cared because she was like living her best life. Unfortunately, because I'm like the horse handler, I don't get to see the actual physical therapy that is happening on horseback behind me. Maybe I'll try and get sneak peeks, you know, if Willie is behaving, but it just, I walked out of there like so incredibly happy and just like full of light. It was wonderful.
When you become besties with her aide, the aide will text you the videos.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was wonderful.
I hope one of them has like a really hot aide and then this is like your meet cute.
Oh my God.
But you should see Molly's face right now. I mean, that's pretty good, right?
I fully support that.
And if not, I'll just write the book and we can daydream.
But I'd prefer my idea.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Yes.
Well, there will eventually be three people, one right after another, but the middle person or child is not here until I think June, but the second person who ended up being later in the morning is blind, and he's a little verbal, but not really. And he's the one who normally rides backwards, and he is just in his own world. He also, I mean, he wasn't like screeching with happiness, but he was clearly enjoying the heck out of himself. It was just, I walked out of there being like, this was amazing. Can't wait until next Thursday.
I love that you're doing this.
We need reminders, I think, that like, just to get out of our own way and like out of the day-to-day like grind 1,000% of garbage. And just like, I know for me, like teaching does that to some extent, but there's just like, you know, I'll be at work and somebody will be like, I can't believe you fit me in. That was so nice that you called. And like, you actually use your cancellation list and like blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, every once in a while, like somebody makes you stop. And like, that is like a really big time stop the music moment of like, okay, yeah, there are other things going on out here. And like, it's not all bad and gloom and doom.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a question. I can't promise this is going to happen every single week, but this just came to me. So I'm going to ask you guys, okay, what is the one thing that you read it in a book and you're immediately like, I'm out? It can be anything. It can be like grammatical issues or a character says something. What is the thing? And I'll let you guys think for a second. For me,
I have mine. I already have mine, but go.
For me, in romance books, when the male romantic lead says good girl in like a sexual situation, I'm like, done. I'm out. Not interested. The condescension, I know it's meant to be like somehow a sexy thing. To me, it is like, you know.
Wait, how did you finish Done and Dusted? That's in there. Just saying.
Oh, geez. Well, mine's incest. I'm out on incest.
I don't think I've ever heard.
Oh my God, V.C. Andrews? You never read any of those?
I watched the Lifetime movie, but no.
Oh no, I read that as a child. I will say I did watch The Fosters for a long time, and I don't count that because Callie and Brandon were not actually related, and she got adopted into his family as a teenager. Mm-hmm. So that was like a little bit on the moms, in my opinion, and I was rooting for them, if I'm being honest, even though she was like sort of in their family. She was adopted into their family. But yeah, incest is one that like I don't tango with that. I guess I don't know the like if it's abuse, like if somebody's being abused, like if it's like a dad and a daughter or an uncle and a daughter or whatever, like that is like a different story. But if it's like incest and like the people are choosing to be together even though they're related and it's not allowed, not on board with that, and I will stop reading.
Okay, mine is more of a formatting thing, which is mm-hmm. that I cannot stand when there are not quotation marks around dialogue.
Agreed.
That is just like sends me. I can't keep track of who's talking, when it's internal, when it's not. Like, no, just absolute no. I also just think back to the romance genre. When someone uses the word folds, I'm just like, can we not? I just really feel that as a descriptor, that should not be allowed.
I can get behind that. I don't know that I've read enough romance to come across folds, but.
Oh, it's in there a lot.
It's in there a lot? Oh, I don't know.
It's one random use where I'm like, okay, they were really trying to like change up the noun here. I'll let it go. But if it's a repeat offender, out of here.
So you can't read Sally Rooney books then. She doesn't use a quotation. She barely does paragraph breaks for when somebody else is talking.
The other issue for me, which is maybe not a writer issue, but an editor issue, is if I see tense change and I know it should not have changed, I'm not going to say a book that I read recently that happened in. That for me is like, And listen, I do spelling errors all the time in life, in writing, but that is something that an editor should catch.
Yes. And on a related note to the tense change, if there's jumping back and forth in time and it becomes too impossible to keep track of which part of the story we are in, I give up.
All right. Well, I'll keep thinking of questions to try and have some philosophical conversation.
Also, before we get into our book topic of the day, you are listening to this hopefully on Thursday, April 25th, which means we are just 2 days away from Indie Bookstore Day, which if you've been listening to us since the beginning, or this is your first time listening, we are very big independent bookstore people. We prefer to shop like that all the time. Though we sometimes are nice to Barnes & Noble, we mostly try to patronize independent bookstores. So we hope that you will support whatever stores are near you this weekend. We will certainly be sharing all the fun stuff that we're doing and how we're celebrating. So keep a close eye on our Instagram because we'll share some more stuff. But with that, today we are talking about actress and activist Kerry Washington's memoir, Thicker Than Water. I did not intend originally to read this book. Kerry did a huge press tour in advance of this. She was on The Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard. She was on We Can Do Hard Things with Glennon Doyle. I listened to both of those episodes in full, and it was those conversations that made me go, whoa, like I have to know everything about this situation. Then my mom went to Kerry's appearance at the Miami Book Fair in November, which is run by Books and Books, my favorite independent bookstore in Miami. And she got the book at the event. That was like part of, included with the ticket, I guess. She read it very quickly and said, you should definitely read this and maybe it will be good enough for the podcast. So I traveled home with it from Thanksgiving weekend. And as I was reading it, I was like, so much of this is like not about everything that I heard in these podcast interviews. I really thought it was going to be about this big reveal about her family's lineage. And I would say like, 80% of the book is actually not about that. And I felt like it leapt around in time in terms of her life as a young girl, getting into the Hollywood scene, meeting her husband, settling in LA. There is like a very big reveal at the end of this book. And I felt like it took an eon to get there. And then I didn't feel like there was the kind of payoff or epiphany that I wanted. On the pluses, I would say if you're a fan of Scandal, there's so much good behind the scenes stuff about how she got that role, being number one on the call sheet, how that changed her life, how she became a producer.
Twitter parties.
Twitter parties. Yes. All of the things that were a part of being part of ABC's TGIT. So there is a lot of cool behind the scenes stuff if you're like a celeb memoir person and you like that. But the things that reeled me in from these podcast conversations turned out to be kind of not the point.
So when Molly's mom gave her this book, Molly said, oh, this is Kerry Washington's memoir. And she finds out about blank, da 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 blank in her family. And this is what it's about. And Molly hadn't read it yet. And so I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And so then didn't hear anything more about it, got passed to Steph, got passed to me. I read it this week. And I agree with Molly. The majority of the book is not about that reveal. And the reveal doesn't even, it's like her parents are like, we have to talk to you about something in like the first 5 pages. And then it's like at the tail end that you find out what that is. But I already knew what it was because Molly knew because her mom had been at these things. She had listened to the podcast. So it was like out in the universe what the reveal was. And so I'm reading the book and I'm like, when is the book going to be about this traumatic thing that happens in her family and is revealed to her? And that's really not what the book was about. And I also have to say, and I do really like Kerry Washington and I watched Scandal forever and I've liked a lot of her other projects. But this book came off as so prissy and like eat, pray, love that I like wanted to throw it out the window. Like I really did not like this book. Like it's like, oh, I got into this really posh private school in New York City and oh, this agent just landed in my lap and oh, this and oh, that. Oh, and my dad got in trouble with the law, but don't worry, he just got his knuckles slapped. It's like, there's just so many things where you're like, okay, this is going to be when she digs in and is like, you know, talking about her past and like, you know, whatever she grew up with dealing with and whatever. And it's not that nothing happened to her. And it's not that a memoir has to have all this bad stuff, but she really buries the lead and then doesn't even really dig into it at the end. And so I just felt like there wasn't really a good arc. Like, whoever her editor was, like, you know, the conflict, like the major conflict in a story should happen like between the like mid to late part of the book, and then you have a resolution, and it's like, that didn't really happen. And it was almost like she decided to publish a book that was just like a timeline of her life. And I was like, this isn't how you write a narrative. Like, this isn't, it didn't work. It just didn't work for me. It fell totally flat. I was 60 pages in and was like, man, I got to finish this. Like, sorry, Carrie, I thought it stunk.
For me, coming off of the Minka Kelly memoir, all I could think is like, her mom must have died, because Minka's whole thing was she wasn't going to write this until her mother was no longer alive. And I kept thinking, oh God, this is where we're headed. Like, clearly she's not writing this with her mother still alive. Spoiler alert, her mother's still alive, which I think is such an interesting thing. I can't even imagine what sort of conversations went on behind the scenes to be like, I'm going to talk about all this in a very public way. Did her mother approve that? Or did she just say like, I'm telling it? And the other thing is, I keep thinking, are there any people in Hollywood that have not had traumatic childhoods? Are there?
One lighthearted thing we did learn is that she went to this Richie Rich private school, as Caitlin said. Her first ever performance was alongside Gwyneth Paltrow in Midsummer Night's Dream, which we have discussed a Midsummer Night's Dream many times. Caitlin teaches it. It's come up in a lot of other conversations. I was like, what a like little Easter egg in here.
There were some moments like that, but I just, the narrative, it just didn't build. It didn't resolve. It didn't. And I know this is going to sound like her mom and dad like were definitely like major characters throughout the book, but they really were side characters. Like, she was the star of that show for the whole book. Like, there wasn't a lot of, I feel like in other celeb memoirs, you really get to know like the siblings more, or the cousins more, or the best friend, or like somebody. And it just didn't really happen in this one.
I also think sometimes the writing can be bad, but the content is good. For example, we already talked about the Britney Spears memoir. You really could hear her voice in the writing. Was it great? No. Was it full of content we wanted to know more about? Yes. So this was a case where it was like, the setup, the arc, as Caitlin said, was not great. They buried the lead. And I think a different editor may have pushed her more to be like, we gotta like reorganize this. And I rarely like to think this about celeb memoirs, but when I got to the end of this, I was like, God, this is just really a case of like a famous person who got a book deal. It just like, it didn't feel like, I don't want to say that she deserved this platform, but it wasn't, I don't know, just as like moving as some other ones. And I think when we talked about Minka, we were all really impressed with her vulnerability and how much she shared about her life. And there were so many things that must have been just like incredibly hard to relive. This did feel like a star-studded version of sharing the hard things that have happened to you. And it didn't, I don't know, it just didn't leave you either feeling inspired or feeling motivated or feeling, even feeling sad for her. It just sort of lands on like a myth, which was disappointing because those podcast interviews were so compelling. And I think she's a great public speaker. For those who don't know, she's a huge activist. She encourages people to register to vote. She's always on the campaign trail. She's a compelling human being. It didn't translate on the page.
I think she touched on a bunch of subjects that I just wish she had spent more time with. Like the eating disorder. It felt like a sort of passing comment. I wanted to like know more about her thoughts and like a little bit more on like the healing of like accepting I have this issue and how she's continued forward.
She says that by the time she goes to India, she's been on like a 2-year therapy journey of dealing with her eating disorder and depression and other things. And that's like basically like the only time it's really referenced, and then it's just like, and I dealt with it. And it's like, okay, but that's the part that we want to know about, because other people have those struggles and you're just passing it over to get to like the next part in your timeline. And it just didn't, nothing got flushed out. It just was really bizarre.
Well, and even back to the abuse that was happening in her childhood, like horrible, absolutely horrible, which was why I was thinking, Jesus, is there anyone in Hollywood who hasn't been abused or whatever? I wanted more of like, as an adult, talking to your therapist about this thing that happened and like coming to terms with it and how that affected relationships throughout growing up. Like maybe it's me picking at wounds, but like, I just wanted a deeper reflection on each of the like tough topics.
I had a moment where I wondered if her editor was like, well, can you talk more about this or more about this or more about that? And she was like, no. Like, I wonder if like she pushed back and was like, I can't talk more about that. Like, I'm not there yet or whatever. But that being said, then like maybe you weren't ready for this book yet. Like, because those are the things that really, I think, would have been helpful to other people. And I get that she probably wrote this book for it to be therapeutic, but like, it didn't book. I don't even know how else to explain it, really. And I like her and I wanted to like it, but like I said, I just kept having this eat, pray, love moment, which I don't know if you guys read that book, but like, I was like, oh, woe is you. You got divorced and you got to go eat 80 pounds of pasta in Italy. And then you got to like go and learn how to meditate. I'm like, nobody else gets this divorce tour. Like, and I just was like pissed reading that book. I was like, this book is ridiculous. And there were moments that I had reading this Kerry Washington book where I was like, you're being ridiculous. Like,
this just made me remember, she just casually mentions the Obamas. Let's sit with that for like 30 more pages. I want to know more about that.
Yeah.
You know?
I think what we're all saying is that this book did not have a good editor, is really like what it comes down to. Okay. Steph just made a like, ew, don't associate that with me face. I'm saying this book didn't have a good editor. You can quote it to me. As you know, I always read the acknowledgements. The first line of the acknowledgements is thank you to Shonda Rhimes, who told me to write this book 10 years ago. Shonda's always right. If you haven't read her book, Year of Yes, what are you doing? For people who don't want to know what the big reveal is in this Kerry Washington book, just seek ahead about 60 seconds, because I'm going to recommend a book that actually does this well. So seek ahead right now. The reveal in this book is that Kerry Washington is a different biological father. If you want to read a book by someone who actually shared all of the thoughts of what unpacking that really is, you should read Inheritance by Donnie Shapiro, which is a memoir about a Jewish woman who finds out she has a different biological dad who is not Jewish. And it just like unravels her entire existence. It's done beautifully. I will share every resource I have about that book. If you're interested in it, you can email us. You can DM us on Instagram. There are great podcast interviews with her also. So if you like that as a premise, that's actually what you should read.
Is that an astonishing reveal to her because then she's half Jewish, or she's not Jewish at all?
Then she's half Jewish.
Okay.
But the person who raised her, who she thought was her dad, was Orthodox.
Okay. Okay.
Pretty good wrinkle.
Got it. I don't know that book, but now I'm curious about it. Do you own it, Molly?
I think I do. I think I can pass it on to you.
All right, maybe we should pass that one around. What's everybody reading right now?
So while I was staying in Molly's house taking care of Scout, I brought two books with me. And then in the guest room, I perused the TBR pile. Most of those books are actually mine, or they're yours, Caitlin, that I then read and then passed along. And on the top was the book, The Cheat Sheet by Sarah Adams. So, listener, I did not read the two books that I packed. Instead, I picked up this book and read it over the weekend. This book, I want to say, first of all, it's a closed door romance, so there is no sauce, just as a preface.
Shoot.
That being said,
wait a minute. closed door romance?
Yeah,
elaborate on that.
Closed door romance is the name for when the saucy stuff happens behind a closed door and you are not allowed in the room. So it's like PG-13 version of romance, I would say.
How old are the people in this book?
Oh, they're in their 30s.
That's lame then.
Here's the thing.
In my opinion.
In my mental state, I just really needed like a nice warm hug. And that's what this book is. It is.
Sure. So I'm sorry. I don't mean to diss a book that I haven't read. I just was like, oh, is this YA and they're trying to it in the library kind of thing? Or
no, and
in their 30s. Okay.
I wanted the sauce because I feel like, so there are two tropes. There's friends to lovers and fake dating. And as you know, fake dating is my favorite trope. This book is like, I don't want to say it's everyone's dream, but it's a girl whose best friend since high school is an NFL quarterback. He's like the most decent human in the world. He adores her. And she has watched him date like model after model forever and just been in the friend zone. And he is starting to get closer to making it into the Super Bowl. And a snafu happens where Tide basically comes to them and is like, we want you to do a commercial because they think they're dating. She gets drunk, says some things. Anyways, his PR people are like, we need you to pretend to be dating at least until the Super Bowl when the commercial will air. And then it turns out that they've secretly both been loving each other since high school. So
The Cheat Sheet by Sarah Adams. Mm-hmm. Sarah Adams. Okay.
It was delightful.
Really delightful. That is the word I was going to use. Yeah.
I am reading The Daddy Diaries by Andy Cohen, who is the head of all things Bravo TV. I was saying to Steph earlier today, we don't really talk about Bravo that much on this podcast, but it is an enormous part of my life. And Andy has several books. This is the fourth one, actually. And it's a diary style. And I love reading them because you hear about all his famous friends, you hear about his home renovations, you hear about all his hobnobbing. It's just delightful. But this book is specifically about him going from having his son Ben to having two kids when his daughter Lucy kind of enters the world. And the subhead on the book is The Year I Grew Up. And he really talks about like shifting his life to make space for these two little people in a much bigger way.
Can I ask a question as someone who is not a Bravo person?
Yeah, of course.
Is he a single father or does he have a partner?
He's a single father. Oh. Both of these kids came into the world through surrogate. He was a huge advocate for more open laws around surrogacy in the state of New York. And he talks about everything. He talks about like going to the hospital for the birth, about all the wonderful things he learned about his surrogate and her family. He's very open about all the help he has, which I was very curious if that would be part of it or not. He has one nanny for each kid, and he travels a ton. So, like, it makes sense that he would have extra help. It's just mind-blowing, the people that he's very close friends with. Like, in his neighborhood, he almost weekly sees Sarah Jessica Parker, Amy Sedaris. Everyone knows he's best friends with Anderson Cooper. He's also friends with the Fallons. He's friends with the Buffets. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, his inner circle is all A-list, with the exception of his roommate from BU, who he calls Straight Dave. That's how he's referred to in all of the books. He included a bunch of pictures. It's just, it's like a guilty pleasure read. And it's 270 pages. It's just like an easy, fun, light thing. It's like a palate cleanser in between other books. And I'll be ready to move on to something more literary after this.
I'm reading a YA book called The Golden State, and the author is someone I hadn't heard of before, Merritt Weisenberg. And it is about a family on the lam. You don't know what they're on the lam from.
Family of how many?
Four.
Okay.
Two girls, 17 and 8. Or 10. And the 17-year-old can't remember not being on the run. They'll live someplace for a month, 3 months. All of a sudden, her dad will be like, we have to go. It's a no questions asked situation. They pack up, they leave, they park somewhere. Her dad goes to a post office and picks up an envelope of money and new IDs. and keys to a place that they're going to stay. When he gets out of the van, he says, if I'm not back in 30 minutes, leave without me. That is their protocol and has been for her entire life. I am only like 100 pages into the book. The 17-year-old is very smart. And she is getting to a point where she wants to like go to college and she wants to find out. She doesn't know anything about her parents. Honestly, she's like, they can't, anything I ask, they won't tell me. They said it's not safe because trusting kids to lie is like, you know, you can't do it. And they've just landed in California. And it seems to her that her mom is acting very unusually. And she's like, I think we're finally in a place that's familiar to her. And she's like crawling out of her skin and doesn't know what to do. And she overhears her parents say something along the lines of, well, Poppy can't go out because she looks too much like you. And so the reader has no idea. I have no idea. But also the main character also has no idea. And she's trying to figure it out. And anything that she does that makes her seem special or gets her any like positive attention in her life is like a bad thing. And if her parents find out about it, then they just like pick up and leave. So like within the first 10 pages of the book, she's doing this science project and it's like with two brainiacs in her grade. And they're like, we're going to end up going to States. This is going to be unbelievable. And her parents are like, we've got to go. And she never gets to see the project like come to fruition. And the younger sister is starting to be a little more rebellious and is like, I don't want to just blindly follow these rules. And the older sister is like, if you don't, we could get separated. And that's like the whole game. Like their tagline every single time is like, if you don't follow the rules, we will be separated. Do you want that to happen? And the answer is no. But now that the older daughter is like almost an adult, she's like, I'd like to know who I am. I'd like to know why we're doing this. She's starting to question, like, is it an organization that helps us move? Is it a single person that helps us move that's maybe a relative that I don't know about? Like, she literally knows nothing. And I'm, like, captivated by this story. I'm so intrigued. It's well written to the point where, like, even if the payoff isn't huge, watching this girl grapple with this is, like, so well done that I'm, like, very entertained. I think she's a first-time author. I could be wrong. But The Golden State, I'm enjoying it.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
If it ends up being good, we should do an episode about it. I'll pass it along. If it ends up being a dud, then I won't make you because we just had Kerry Washington happen.
On that note, if you want to see everything that we're reading and keep up with all of our fave book memes, reader memes, give us a follow over at Plans Are Booked. We have lots of fun content going on over there every single day. You can also send us a note, plansarebooked@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. If you are doing anything special for Indie Bookstore Day, definitely let us know. We want to hear all the good stuff that's going on.
And until next time, our plans are booked.